Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial County. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with your hosts, Scott and yours truly, Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7, Radio Bingo. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Hey, good morning. I just kind of want to go to a certain place before we get started. We got a good show for you, but I kind of want to touch on this before we go forward. There's been kind of a tragedy this week in our community, and for those of you who aren't aware, hey, tragedy, what's that? You know, check it out on one of the local news stations or KXL or something. And we don't really want to talk about the hows and whys. What we really want to talk about is a couple things. First of all, it's so important to be kind to one another. Life is so fleeting and so precious that, and sometimes we're really reminded of that. So be kind to each other. And then the other thing, of course, is that if this has really affected your life and you're feeling really, really bad.
Or a loved one, or their children.
Or someone that you know, yes. Please seek support, because support is there. And at any level, and people are happy to provide it, because we are all together affected by one another's mental health. And if nothing else, we have Behavioral Health 482-4000, and they are at your beck and call.
Yeah, we have wonderful programs, especially for children, for trauma. So call Behavioral Health at 482-4000 and seek help.
Yeah.
There's a lot of resources here in the county, and you can start by just calling Behavioral Health, and then they can also refer you to other places.
Please.
Okay.
And thank you.
We have just really also two other.
Oh, I'm glad you're doing the conference today.
Living to Independence, and we've had them here at the show. They're having a workshop on autism and other special needs, and it's for you to learn more about transitioning from adolescence to adulthood. And this is with a population that have autism or other special needs. And it's going to be held on Tuesday, October the 12th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the ARC. And it's located at 298 Ross Avenue. And if you need more information, you can call Judy Brown at 760-768-2044. And that's for autism and other special needs, and that's to transition from adolescence to adulthood. And then, of course, we have the annual Imperial County Public Health is putting on the drive-through flu clinic, and that will be held on Saturday, October the 16th, from 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Imperial Valley Expo in the North End parking lot. And that's in Imperial. And the cost is $2 per person. And they're requesting that if you're going to go through the drive-through, to please wear a short sleeve. And, of course, this is a drive-through, so it will be by the car, on a car.
No walk-through.
No walk-through. Okay. It's going to be in a car.
Just like at the bank.
Okay. So, remember, this is October the 16th. And I think this flu shot is also going to have the H1N1 included. So, $2.
There you go.
October 16th.
Yeah, because cold and flu season is right around the corner, as the cooler air is reminding us, and now the germs are happy. They're like, oh, I get to float around in the air and land on my friends, and
yes.
Sharing is caring, and keep yourself safe.
Yes.
That's always nice.
Okay.
And then, of course, if you do get sick, stay home.
Don't spread your germs.
Yes, please. Walk around shaking everybody's hand. Hey, how are you doing? I'm really sick today. Ooh. Welcome. All right, this is Let's Talk About It. 337-8874 is the phone number if you have a call for us today. Always appreciate the calls. And we have Luis Brown, and he is a prevention specialist for the Office of Education.
Morning.
Welcome, Luis. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So what do you prevent?
Well,
try to prevent.
What do you specialize in preventing? Yeah, exactly.
Well, we try to prevent the... right now the grant that I'm working is called STOP. It's Sober Truth on Preventing Underage Drinking. So
Sober Truth on Preventing.
Preventing.
That's the STOP part.
Yeah. And then you had the other one. Which under is an acronym drink. For
Underage drinking. Yeah. UAD or something.
Yeah. So Yeah, we've had this grant for, we started in December of 2009.
That's your DJ experience in rock and
roll. Yeah, I have to go back and forth. We started in December of 2009 at Brawley Union High School. This grant is exclusively for Brawley Union High School. It's a really neat grant. We're giving a great opportunity to bring Friday Night Live and revitalize that program, that club at Brawley Union High School. We, you know, at one point, every high school in the Valley had a Friday Night Live club, but, you know, with budget cuts, with, you know, sustainability has been really, really hard. So as soon as, you know, student well-being leaves the school when the grant ends, you know, it's really hard.
It ends.
It's really hard. You know, and it's really nobody's fault. It's just, you know, those things that happen. It's hard to find advisors that would carry the program on. Right now at Brawley Union High School, I'm the advisor, and I have a co-advisor with me, which is a staff, Isabel Garcia. She's a staff from Brawley Union High School. And
he's working, Scott.
Yeah, he's working. I wish he was here.
Not literally.
Yeah, and, you know, she's been really great. It's a lot of support from school. Also, you know, the kids, we have about 30 members right now.
Oh, wow.
Which is a really big number. You know, and right now, we're trying to stretch out the program, and, you know, we have Hopeville High School involved and Southwest High School, and I'll talk about their participation.
So you see, you guys are tagging up with other schools now and doing some joint efforts?
Yeah, well, it's different per school.
Right.
You know, for Brawley Union High School, since the grant is for Brawley Union High School, we have more programs, more, you know, resources. The other schools, we're going to implement a program that I'm about to talk about right now.
Let's kind of break it down here. Let's jump into Friday Night Live, because
it's been around for a while.
Been around for a while, but for those who haven't been in it or are aware of it, what is it? Where did it start? What does it aim for? What is it?
Okay, FNL started in...
It's got its own acronym. There you go.
FNL. Yeah, FNL. It started in the early 80s. It's a statewide program. You know, the focus on it is to reduce or prevent alcohol use with adolescents.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that is important for our community?
Oh, very, mm-hmm. very important. You know, being in a valley that, you know, Calexico is 2 seconds from the border to Mexico, and, you know, to obtain alcohol in Mexico, it's a lot easier than here. So a lot of the kids travel to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even kids that are 18, they travel, and 18 you can buy...
You're legal over there.
Yeah. So,
and you don't have to pass a test to use. You don't have to prove that you know how to drink responsibly. There is such a thing.
You just have to show sometimes. No. Even sometimes.
Yeah. And so, you know, FNL, if the program is run correctly and if, you know, it works, you know, like every program.
Now, do teenagers have to go to Mexico to drink? Is that?
No. But, you know.
They can just stay home and drink their parents' hooch, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, you know, here in the U.S., California, I mean, alcohol is a legal substance, and, you know, as long as you're 21, you can use it.
Yeah,
so that must be tempting for young people. I mean, you think about it, it's like, well, you can't do this until you're growing up, and man, I got like a mustache already. I'm like already feeling a little bit grown up myself. So that there must be some kind of, you know, allure to that.
Yeah, and then you just see family members drinking, you know, now football season started and, you know, watch football and, you know, they have a lot of commercials
and,
you know, targeting young people.
I was going to mention that, you know.
Well, yeah, it's true. It makes you skinny and sexy. What else would you want?
Yeah.
I know.
And that's one of the things that I tell the members of the club is, I mean, nobody that drinks the product has that body. You know, I mean,
you're saying that we're being misled, that alcohol consumption, in particular beer, doesn't lead to skinniness and attractiveness and gorgeous model bodies?
Oh. Maybe if you're an alcoholic and that's all you're drinking, then you have no
food. Wait, if they're misleading us there, what else are we being misled on? Come on. No.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a test for advertising where it has to be like true?
Well, there's some commercials right now that they're advertising that has less calories.
There must be some cute person drinking somewhere, huh?
Yeah.
but the majority probably aren't quite that cute.
No, they're not.
Well, that's the general population we're overweight.
Yeah. Well, but kids see this though, and they just eat it up. I mean,
and it's...
And they make it fun. The commercials are fun.
We all want to be special. We all want to be that, really cute, really adorable, really everybody loves me person. I know I do.
Those corporations have a lot of money, and they invest a lot of money in advertising.
And they know our weaknesses.
And they make really good commercials.
It's very easy when you have an open checkbook with...
Yeah.
A limited.
What do we look at?
They hire psychologists to work for the dark side.
No, probably.
How do we really get in their heads?
PR people must be really.
Yeah, we look at the. We're waiting for what is the thing in halftime for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What commercials are they going to come out with?
There isn't an receipt thing, but in any typical exposure to commercials, you're getting a lot of them.
Yeah,
and since the time you were a little kid, and it's building up this whole record.
So how can you compete against that?
Well, I don't really call it competing because you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't compete with an open checkbook like that. You can't compete with just the massive TV time.
Well, no, it's like a campaign that says stomp out bullying. Well, you can't out bully a bully.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
violence doesn't make less violence.
So what we try to do, we just try to educate the kids on the realities of it, and we've done a pretty good job. Last year, our first goal was to start up the program. We did, we did some recruitment and some of the classes at the school, lunchtime activities, and we started getting kids involved, and then we brought out a program called the Every 15 Minutes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Every 15 Minutes.
No, but we got a minute or so.
Perfect. I got a minute or so too. Well, the Every 15 Minutes is a two-day assembly that focuses on it's the simulation of a drunk driving accident involving high school students. It takes 6 to 9 months to prepare for this program. We're working in collaboration with the California Highway Patrol with Pablo Torres, their PR guy, who is a great, great guy to work with. Mm-hmm. He's been my tag team partner since December when we met about this. And, we started... getting other agencies in the community. We created a little coalition that we met every 2 weeks, every month, every week as we led to the event. And the kids were great. We had a lot of participation from a lot of agencies, and the school was very, very supportive of this. We figured we were anticipating some resistance from the community because it's a touchy subject, especially in Bali when you've had. I think they had like 4 deaths in a year. Mm-hmm.
It seems like that would increase the desire to talk about it a little bit more because.
Well, some of those topics people mm-hmm. are they don't know how to handle them, and the first thing they do is mm-hmm. Try to shy away from it.
Well, but they can't say that in my community.
Definitely. No. Mm-hmm. And but we didn't. We received a lot of support from the community. The parents were very supportive. We pulled off a great event. It was near perfection. I think what made it so perfect was, number one, the planning. We met, constantly to talk about any, we tried to dot every single I and we crossed mm-hmm. every T that we could. We took some of the elements out that we felt would take away from the realism of the program.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that made it work so well was the secrecy because mm-hmm. the school didn't, the student body, they didn't know this was happening aside from the FNL students.
What is it about? I mean, for our audience.
Well, what it is that you stage two cars in a in a T-bone accident type scene. Mm-hmm. You have the kids in makeup, and you. What we did in Broadway was that we had the seniors because this is geared for the juniors mm-hmm. and seniors.
We actually crashed the cars. I'm trying to picture this.
Actually, we did, but we no students.
Okay.
Because. Thanks for Tucker Towing. They donated 2 cars that were unplugging everybody. I'm sorry. I'm trying to plug everybody that helped us out here.
Okay.
What we did was that we had we asked them to donate two cars, and usually when, you know, I had already done it every 15 minutes back in 06 in Calexico, and the two cars that they donated to us were cars that, you know, were going to be dismantled.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you know, just, the cars they gave me back then really were in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
These cars had, like, not a dent in them. So,
yes.
Yeah, well, you know, this was 15 minutes before the event started, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, you know, it would kind of kill the purpose, so... we put some dents in the cars.
With proper safety precautions.
Yeah, of course. You know, we had IVROP class at Broadway Union High School, the construction class.
Mm-hmm.
The kids came out with air cameras, and... Yeah, they took out their frustrations on those cars, and we had a perfect T-bone... stage accident, and we had the kids in makeup, and you know, by this time the juniors and seniors are in assembly, you know, fire bell rings that only rings in that gym.
Mm-hmm.
The students come out to the field, and the first thing they see is, you know, the CHP coming in and the Broadway Police Department coming in for the accident.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids witness the extraction of the students, the, you know, fatalities, quote unquote fatalities that we had in the accident, put in body bags, because
mm-hmm.
we had, you know, the sheriff corner there. We had a lot of agencies help us out.
How real was it? Was it, like, real, or
well,
was it like, this
is
exactly what it looks like, so
yeah.
Pay attention.
Well,
yeah.
This is kind of, you know, okay, I'm
so,
the black sheep.
So
wait, I'm going to be the black sheep.
Okay, I was going to do that
too. I'll be the black sheep. Well, because, you know, studies have shown, you know, that whole back then in the 80s is scared straight, you know, regarding sending kids to, going to the jails and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it does not work at all.
No.
You know.
And
so, what is this?
About this, the difference with this program is, it could be seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, some eyes can see
it's
scared straight.
Scared straight, you know.
But I've always said that this program would not work if there's no follow-through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I walk into your house and, you know, scare you straight,
mm-hmm.
leave and don't come back, the effects kind of wear off in, you know, a couple of days or a week.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is that we've continued with programs, and we've continued to be around the school, and we're there. What really, I was really, really proud of these students, because they kind of became the leaders within the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had other students, I mean, after that, you know, we had students join left and right the program. We're not doing every 15 minutes this year in Brawley, I'm sorry, because it's a
Oh, you just
program.
Said it on the radio.
Yeah.
We're going to do it next week.
Yeah.
At so-and-so.
No, we're not doing it in Brawley, because the program's supposed to be done every 2 years.
Oh.
So because that way, you do it for the juniors and seniors. When you come back, those kids are gone already. So the freshmen and sophomores that did not see it will be juniors and seniors,
okay.
and they'll get to see it.
Now, were kids scared? Because, like, you know, it feels like neurotoxic. It's not messing up your head. So.
Well, you know what?
Were they scared, or were they just kind of, oh, man, this is serious stuff. I need to be concerned. Concerned? Yeah, it's okay.
Well, we had, you know, we had our crisis team there for any, you know, incidents that might happen, you know, any, you know. You never know what.
Well,
yeah,
that's
especially
kind of
if it's, you know, they just leave it at first home and you saw one of their friends.
Yeah, and then another thing is that, you know, Brawley's had, you know, the past
year,
like they've had some, you know, fatalities. Mm-hmm. So we had Miriam Bell, who's, I mean, great. I mean, I've worked with her for 4 years, and this was the first time that I actually seen her at, you know, in
mm-hmm.
action.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, she's great to work with, and she's great with the kids. You know, we had, you know, the SAR, student assistant representative,
mm-hmm.
and we had, like, our counselors there. We had a school psychologist on hand, too. So we
mm-hmm.
covered every single base when, you know,
mm-hmm.
just in case. The other thing about the program is, you know, it took 6 to 9 months to prepare for, and the actual accident scene took maybe 45 minutes, you know,
mm-hmm.
at top. Because, you know, you do have the fire department that comes in with the jobs of life. You do extract the kids. And one of the things that I told the club members was, you know, were that be prepared, because
mm-hmm.
you are going to have some hecklers. You are going to have some kids that they express. That's what comes out. You know, they try to be funny. They try to say
mm-hmm.
comments. But, you know, the kids, they were great actors.
Well, because, okay, let's break this down. I'm like, feel like John Madden with a little football season, right? If I'm
yeah.
circling stuff on the screen here. Because okay, we know the stats. We know that in the time that people are in high school, about three quarters of them are going to try alcohol. And about half of them are actually going to try alcohol more than, like, just once or twice. So you've got basically, in the whole time people in high school, about half of them drink. Of those that drink, I think about 20% of those drive, or at least admit to driving.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got half the kids, you've got one-fifth, you've got one-tenth of the kids, 10% of the kids driving.
Are you also including, you know, the issue of, like, binge drinking? There's a lot of people.
Well, kind of hand-in-hand with high school, huh?
Well, no, it's gone up more because a lot of schools, they do the random drug testing, and kids are pretty smart. They know that, hey, you know what, if I smoke some pot, it'll stay on my system for a month. If I do some meth, it could stay there a little bit longer. But hey, if I drink alcohol, I know that it just takes time.
I'm good to go.
Uh-huh. So they binge drink, and then if they get tested, you know, the alcohol.
I'm testing for so yeah. Okay. Oh, so
that
may be
issue,
that may be an issue too. So you've got 10% of your kids basically who get behind the wheel of a car drunk, at least who are willing to report that to the federal government. I'd be worried about those 10% to start with, but then I'd be really worried about the ones in those 10% who had already done it once or twice and done it okay, at least to their work alcohol driven perception, and then see this thing and say,
oh, that's
I'm a teenage and immortal. I've already done it a couple times. I'm your designated drunk driver.
What is it? I've heard it. I actually drive better when
whatever
I'm
drunk. Yeah. Well, you know,
and that even comes from adults, too.
Because really what you're looking at, I think when you're talking about targeting drunk teenage drivers, is a pretty simple statement of concern saying, this is really dangerous, honey. I don't want you to do it. You'll be in big trouble if I ever, ever catch you. From a parent to a kid, is going to kill probably 90% of those people from ever doing it.
And you know, and I wish that was the case. You know, that we had. You know, and I'm not going to, you know, get into it too deep, but you know, if I think a lot of it would be helpful. You know, if we have parents that
clear parental disapproval.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, the second day of the assembly is, well, the first day is the extraction. You know, we even had Reach, the helicopter, come in. Airlift one of the students to Pioneers Memorial, and the helicopter landed on the football field, on a soccer field. I'm sorry, at Brawley Union High School.
So where was the accident? On the street, or
yeah, it was on the street. It was on C Street in the back of the school. When the
I got close, like
key intersection right there. We had the helicopter land. We brought Caltrans, you know, down to give us a permit to land in the school. It was, you know, we did, like I said, the planning process was really, really good. Yeah, we only did so much, but, you know, 75% of it was the kids that, you know, they just did it perfectly. So the first day we hold the kids that participated in this program, you know, which was about 15 to 17 students. We hold them all day and overnight. We did a lock-in at the gym. And the kids spend the night, because that kind of, we wanted to show, what for the parents too, what it would feel like for your kid not to come home that night, you know, especially, you know, the circumstances. So, we had CHP come down and do a presentation. We did a couple of presentations and some activities with the kids, so we kept them busy. And the next morning we had an assembly regarding the first day. We have the juniors and seniors in the gym, and, you know, we played the movie, which is, we had this recorded you know, the event, and we had three other students that participate talk to their class, and it was really neat to see the students hold their classmates accountable, because some of the kids were there, and, you know, some of the statements were, hey, you guys were laughing, but you didn't know the feeling of being, you know, zipped up in a body bag. You know, another one that actually, you know, Pablo, CHP officer, and we kind of looked at each other like, whoa, we've never heard this one before. In 10 years that I've been working with kids, you know, I've never heard this statement before. The kid said, I was put in a body bag, and I was lucky enough to, you know, to get out of that body bag and come here and talk to you about that experience. You know, because some people that are put in body bags really don't.
I hope it was just a new body bag.
Yeah.
That just crossed my mind.
No, everything, The corners did a great job. They you know, and I know that it's kind of probably in some of the listeners' minds here. We put the kids in the back of the corner's wagon, but they were only driven around the corner because the fire department is actually like the fire department's 2 blocks from the high school, so we just drove them to the drop-off point.
But you know what, and that's just listening to that, that must have taken a lot of cooperation also from parents, the buy-in. I don't want my daughter to be in a, you know, just if it's not even... It's just nothing. It's just a,
the thought of her being. And I was in contact with the parents. We had parent meetings. We educated them on the program. You know, we did have all the documentation of permission slip going out to them, and some of the we basically told them, it's not mandatory, but we really encourage you to just help us out with this. And some parents felt comfortable having their child participate in this, or being, killed, and some parents didn't really feel like it, so, they weren't too okay with it. So, we had those students, we had to, move those students around, and they kind of became my assistant for the day. They participated, but they weren't in the actual team. So, we really wanted, the parents to be okay with it and to feel comfortable and to, and I commend them for that because they trusted us with, their kids' lives because, they were being extracted from the car. There was glass, no kids were injured in the filming of that assembly. So,
well, it's top of the hour, so let's take a short break and we'll come back to talk about more of what Luis Ron is doing as a prevention specialist office education. This is Let's Talk About, sponsored by Behavioral Health. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXLRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. And give us a call. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Or we'll sing like the Blondie song, Call Me, and you won't want that to happen. Good morning. I'm Scott. She's Maria. This is Let's Talk About It. 337-8874 is the phone number. Luis Brown is the guest. He's here from the Office of Education this morning. He's a prevention specialist.
Yes.
Talking about all the cool stuff you are doing out at Brawley with your brand new project, Stop.
Stop. And we've been talking about every 15 minutes.
Yes. The Sober Truth on preventing underage drinking. That was the every 15 minutes, the car accident, the assembly, the lock-in. One thing I just wanted to touch on real quick, we wanted to have, for the assembly, we wanted to have a guest speaker who had, experienced something like this, and we did. We had Marcos Lopez come on, probation officer. He did a really great job. He had gone through something like this, and this was his first time talking about it publicly, and he was really honest, and he was really good, and he touched a lot of those kids with his words, and his because he was really honest. That was the thing that we wanted was that person to be honest, and Marcos, went above and beyond, and he did a great job, and that audience was, quiet, captivated. They were in. And, after that, we had a lot of kids go up to him and talk to him about it. So, like I said, our goal is, if we reach one student, if we change the behavior of one student, that was victory for us. And, we had a lot of kids come up to us and tell us, that they would think twice before doing something like this because of, what they just witnessed. They didn't want to be, they didn't want the CHP or the police department going to their house and telling their parents that, you got to go to the morgue.
And probably don't want to die here.
Yeah.
And I remember back in the 80s, yes, we also had, prevention programs.
Back in the 80s before you were born?
Yeah.
Okay.
It all started with just say no, which, of course, it didn't work. And then we had the dare, which, that doesn't. We've had all this, and it's, with prevention, you have to constantly have prevention, ongoing, and always have support because you might have it during your 4 years, maybe elementary, junior high, high school, and hopefully, kids are able to make the right decisions, because come college, it's all out the window.
Yeah, because you don't go home to your parents.
You know? Well, and no, and because, you know, just you have the
that's easy. I just won't send my kids to college. I solve that problem. Isn't
well,
it?
You know, there's no
learn a trade. Okay,
there's not very many. You know,
she's got to be carpenter
great.
Or something.
You know, just you know, it's, I mean, I don't want to scare parents, but you know, when you're in college, you know, you get peer pressure, the parties, and you know, if you join a frat or sorority, and
the hazing,
and hope that's why we have to start young. And my reason is that we have to start young in elementary with probation programs and continue through junior high and continue through high school, because then, you know what, kids have been exposed to this and are able to make the right decisions when they're on their own in college, especially when they take off.
You know what,
and that's a scary
part. Well, I'm going to find somebody that agrees with you more than me on that topic, but, you know, an unfortunate fact of this is, you know, the budgets, you know.
I'm
not going to get too much into the politics part of it.
But the other thing is, I mean, I devil's advocate stuff here, is that, you know, before we started prevention programs, we had this rate of use, right? And now we've gone through, you know, all those troubled children of the 60s and 70s that were the whole reason prevention programs were started.
Yeah.
And you know, now we're like 50 years later, and the rate of use remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so is more prevention the answer? Is better prevention the answer? Is maybe, I don't know, I just... It seems to me that our country, our people, our citizens, have a relationship to changing their consciousness. And some of that is supported through media, you know, certainly the alcohol industry, pharmaceutical industry.
Well, what can you
tobacco,
say? You know, what can you say to a child when, you know, you're at a baptism or a birthday party and, you know, you have beer and you tell a kid, You're drinking, the parent is drinking, and the kid, hey, can I have some? Probably they think it's a soda or something. No, you can't.
Some of it is cultural.
Why?
Absolutely.
I go, why? Right there, hey, wait a minute, you know, he's drinking alcohol, how come I can't drink? And it's just, you know, just very, very, it's hard.
And so it's a part of who we are as a country, as a nation, and you know, there's large pockets of people who don't use it all.
Yeah.
And the kids never use it all. So it's not like it's ubiquitous. It's not like
it's true.
Everybody's using drugs or everybody's drinking, or because it's not true either. But so how do we get our hands around this and try and keep it safe? Because I think really the bottom line is that you don't
want these programs.
You don't want younger brains to start putting substances in the younger brains because they're not trained. Their brains aren't developed, and their judgment isn't very good, so they're not, you know, you don't want to give people with poor impulse control and bad judgment additional ammunition, you know, so you don't want to put dangerous stuff in their hands.
Well, and you know, for me, you know, doing this for a long time now, and, you know, I worked under Maria for a couple of years.
You did?
Yeah. That was a long time ago. But you know what? For me, it's
I wonder what those scars were.
Look at the white hairs.
Yeah.
Count them. But you know, it's I think it's education is like, you know, on the subject. You know,
makes a lot of sense.
It for me it does. But you know, we have in you know, American Assessors, we have a lot of kids that keep coming back to the program. You know that, you know, they complete the program. You know, either treatment or, you know, what have you.
Right.
And then they come back either because they're on probation, you know, core mandated, you know, what have you. Or even the permanent parents just want them back. But they keep going through the same curriculums, the same program. So a lot of the kids, they lose interest because they're in there and they're like, you know what, yeah, I heard this four times.
But it also has to do, we might provide the best, you know, kind of good curriculum, but also what if their home environment or their environment that they're living doesn't change?
Oh, that and that's, and you know, changing the behavior of a person is really hard, especially when they're not up for it.
Well, and it's kind of tricky to me too, because out of all the people who use, not all the people use unsuccessfully, and so you've got this dichotomy where you're trying in prevention or in any kind of substance use stuff, you're trying to say, hey, no, this stuff is globally not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this population of people who are going to experiment probably in high school, maybe even use in high school, are going to go off to a UC school where they continue to use and experiment. They're going to graduate from that school with honors, go on to a master's program, and, you know, eventually they'll probably get their lives, they'll get busy enough and whatever, they'll stop using, or maybe yeah. they'll just continue to use socially or whatever. And it's hard, I guess, difficult from a prevention standpoint to say, you know, some people are really going to get nailed by this stuff. It's going to turn your life upside down. It may kill you.
Yeah.
And it's going to create all sorts of harm and chaos and destruction.
Well, alcohol.
And we're not sure who. And we're not sure who.
Yeah.
And we are not sure who. So please be careful.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that alcohol, you said it might kill you. Well, alcohol does kill, and it kills
unless
a lot of people.
A glass of red wine after dinner when you're 50, which is me, helps you live. You know, it's the weird stuff.
Yeah,
alcohol can lead to many, many health problems.
Sure.
And it leads
doesn't
to
seem
death.
To help. Doesn't seem to help the old brain work either, frankly.
No, it kills a lot. It's legal. You can buy it. It's readily, you know, around the corner here. Any store you can go to, unless you're in a dry county. But other than that, it's very accessible. Very accessible.
Yeah.
It kills many people. It kills a lot more than other drugs.
Hmm.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I said, the accessibility of it is just...
Well, yeah, but what you're going to do, you're going to wipe it off the map.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people are using it.
It's incredible how you can
drive
around.
Harm.
No, it's incredible how you can drive around and you see these huge billboards, really nice billboards, you know, advertising it. It's all, you know, just like,
well,
wow, good. You know, those are nice billboards.
You know, I keep plugging here. I was just in New York last week, and, you know, we were at Times Square, and the big old Budweiser sign is, you know,
huge.
You know, and at night, that's the thing, you know, about Times Square, that at night you walk in there and it's, you know, you can't really tell that it's night time because it's just so many lights, and I think that thing was just huge, you know, Budweiser sign.
New York let you get away?
Yeah.
I thought you'd have been signed to a deal by now.
You know what, I'm going back for an audition.
New York agents are coming out this weekend.
Yeah, they're flying out.
To dine you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, also sports, you know, they have... They're plugged in everywhere.
Yeah, and you know the thing about this is that, I mean, economics go into that because a lot of the alcohol companies sponsor
a lot of the sports.
You know, the Major League Baseball, NFL,
NASCAR.
Come on,
NASCAR.
It costs them probably almost exactly to make their beverage what it costs for people to buy it. They're not making any money on that stuff, are they?
Look how much we consume.
Well, you know, it
so the profit margin is small, but the quantity.
Exactly.
Nice.
Well, you know, and that kind of ties in with one of the other programs that we're running, and that's for this year at Broward Union High School. It's called the Social Norms Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We did some data a couple years ago, and we discovered that 2 out of 3 kids in the local high schools don't drink. Yeah, don't
mm-hmm.
drink. So, and that comes from them. You know, we did a focus groups. We had the California Healthy Kids Survey, and you know the data that we got from that. So we started this little campaign called the Free to Be campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, free to be alcohol free, free to be drug free. So this year we're going to continue with that campaign. Broadly hosted it back in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and you know you still see some of the posters around the school, which is really neat. You know, Hopeville High School also has the banner still up. I haven't been to the other schools that we had it back then,
mm-hmm.
but I can't really talk about them. But, you know, they were very, very supportive of the program. We're bringing it back. But, you know, my focus on you know, when I read STOP was if FNL becomes the catalyst for all these programs, it would help the sustainability of the program after we leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get a buy-in from the community and from the school about what FNL is and what it can do and what it will do, so, you know, FNL is going to be hosting, the Free to Be campaign. We're hoping for Wednesday, October 27th at the high school. We're going to ask the student body during lunchtime to, you know, come in, sign a pledge. You know, we're giving out T-shirts.
Isn't that Red Ribbon Week?
Yeah,
possibly?
Red Ribbon Week, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're doing it during Red Ribbon Week. We're, you know, and then 2 months after that, we're going to do another one. So we're going to try to keep this going all year long. Because like I said, you know, you start off with the every 15 minutes, and, you know, you continue with follow-up programs that just keep, you know,
keeping people conscious.
Yeah, yeah.
Still there, and not just, okay, here it is.
Yeah, we keep
we'll see you back in a couple of years.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, that's one of my biggest, I guess, pet peeves about when the every 15 minutes has been done. Is, you know, because you, if you go in as an agency and you say, okay, you do it, you leave, you know, it doesn't,
then,
yeah,
it's the impact
what,
with
kind of,
you.
Yeah, what's the, I mean, yeah, you do, it's a short-term impact. We want to just have a long-term impact, and, like, we have a lot of kids that really want to work mm-hmm. with this, which is really, really cool. You know, we have, like I said, 30 kids motivated, and they're, you know, they're ready to do this. You know, the kids will be asked to sign pledges. Mm-hmm. We're also working in collaboration with CHP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked to them about the programs that we're doing, and they're really, really happy to work with us on that. And it's really good for us, too, because, you know, it shows the collaboration mm-hmm. between the two agencies, and that's really cool.
What do we do? I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I hear about all these continuous efforts and stuff, and I still go back to the fact that I see the rates of use, even amongst youth, remaining pretty constant. How do we hold those things?
Well, you know,
We keep trying. And just do, you know, try to implement evidence-based programs.
Yeah. Science-based programs.
Because remember, Einstein's like, you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, and that's like the definition of insanity. So it sounds like we need to really kind of look scientifically at first of all, set our goal pretty exactly.
Yeah.
What do we want kids to do?
Well, see, my goal, like I said, was Stop, and, you know, and once I spoke with Pablo and Amanda, and Amanda Cito, my boss,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
You know, we talked, and, you know, like I said, our goal was if we impact one student, we change the behavior of one student, that's a big win. Because like I said, changing the behavior of a person is really, really hard. Especially, you know, because then you start getting
culture. Right. We talk about financial limitations and budget stuff, and
yeah.
This was a pretty big production.
Well, you know what? It was. We had a lot of.
You got donates and stuff, but you draw salary, and Amanda draws a salary. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the cops got paid through the cops' money, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a cost, and it seems like we have to be pretty careful, or maybe at some point in our budgetary lives able to prove that this, when I do this for these people, that this number of people get impacted in a way that reduces risk for what we're talking about. And by doing that, I'm saving, you know, everybody else this much money. It seems like if prevention really does want to get its foot in the door and get its share of the money, then that's probably eventually what has to maybe happen, because, you know, you got a bang for the buck kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, right now with our, you know, Push the Norms campaign, the kids are, you know, they're really happy about it. They're really, you know, they can't wait to get started with this program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we've worked, you know, a couple months into it since the school year started. I said, our numbers are keep going up, which is really good. And you know, we really want to keep doing, you know,
well, yeah,
the program.
Sober and drug-free activities.
Yeah.
Good idea.
You know, healthy living for adolescents is, you know, it's something that we're promoting.
Well, and it seems like healthy life management for adolescents.
Exactly.
Like, you may say,
can parents also have some programs today? It would be helpful for parents to have some.
And
I'm not saying, you know, abstain. You know, I'm not saying, parents should not, nobody should drink alcohol. You know, learn what you need to, you know, educate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't get to the point where you're falling down and
are you reading my rundown sheet? Because I was going to talk about that now.
Okay.
No. See, the we have all part of that is we have a youth council and an adult council about, you know, it's a task force, you know, again, mm-hmm. you know, just education, you know, about mm-hmm. underage drinking. And Amanda's handling the adult task force, and I'm handling the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, FNL will be, you know, those members from FNL that wish to participate in this will be part of that, you know, youth council
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the kids will be going around, you know, some of the, I guess, we'll be going around some of the liquor stores, some of the, you know, little mini marts or what have you, and, you know, trying to educate, you know, the store owners mm-hmm. about, you know, hey, you know what?
Is that where kids get, do they get, are there under, I'm sure there are underage sales, but predominantly, wouldn't kids just have somebody who's of age buy it for them or steal it from their parents if they were going to drink locally and not go to Mexico?
Well, you know,
I would, if I were a kid,
You know, there's just so many...
Because the carding
system,
the carding system is pretty
accessible. It is.
It's accessible. It's accessible. How you get it, you know, it's...
Yeah, and I don't want to...
It's just accessible.
Yeah, I don't want to start saying different ways of getting because I don't want, you know, we have a kid listening to this.
Exactly.
No, they're in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
it seems like probably underage buying isn't the largest access point. Is that fair? Kids probably can't walk because I was working in convenience stores when carding became a big deal. Actually, so I remember that way back when I was a young adult, and all of a sudden it was like, you know, they talk to the clerks and they'd say, if you sell to someone underage, you're like blind. You know, you'll be fired or whatever, and there will be adverse actions and
fined.
And they're sending people in underage to attempt to buy all the time to be on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that was enough. I mean, that solved the problem. We get pretty strict about it. You know, and you know, we were kids and we didn't have a political agenda one way or the other. We just didn't want to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that that's pretty much par for the course now.
Yeah, and you know, and we're gonna, you know, be more educated on that when we get to that. Mm-hmm. But the point I was trying to make is when you get to the store, some of the, you know, the first things you see are the alcohol, you know,
sales.
Sure. You know, as soon as you walk in, you know, hey, there's a 12-pack right in front of you. So you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I went to this training, and you know, someone would say, oh, well, just always look at the height of you know these you know end caps or whatever they have. You know, a lot of them are pretty low because, you know, you get kids to see that. That's the first thing they see. So, you know, we wanted to talk to, you know, about them, you know, because I remember I walked into a store and, you know, I wanted to go grab a Gatorade and I had to go all the way to the back. Yeah, and then you walk through all the alcohol and then
sure,
you get,
sure. So, I'm sure there's a marketing system.
Yeah, and the marketing
improves your sales.
Yeah, and you know what?
Besides that, you know, people have been drinking. You don't want them to have to walk all the way through your store. They're going to be knocking stuff over, you know.
So, you know, we want to talk to them about that, you know, about changing that, hopefully. So, like I said, that's part of the youth council and also the adult council is, you know, Amanda will be handling that. And, you know
what? Get all your non-drinking parents to go to stores that make themselves less alcohol friendly. That would be a winner because, there's plenty of people who would respect that, maybe.
And, you know, and that's one of the things, I think that's one of the goals from that.
Now you can tell the store people, hey, your sales are going to improve if you go ahead and do this, because we will give you free advertising as one of the stores that is conscious of the messages that youth get from alcohol.
Yeah, and, you know,
advertising.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, you know, we want to talk to, you know, educate the whole community about, you know, because there's been reports of, you know, house parties and you know parents
there's
know.
Been unreported house parties too I
and that's it
yeah. Well, you know what I mean, so
yeah,
you know, we're you know trying to educate the community on the dangers of that.
I know that, you know, Amanda Ferrari was the social host origins, and I think maybe Imperial passed it.
I
think that was it.
Collectico. Yeah, because that was part of that program that
we turned house owners into the store clerks now, so if kids are drinking in your house and it is your house and those kids are caught, you are in trouble.
Yeah. So, you know, we're hoping to push that, you know, in Brawley and mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, the other cities here in the county, and hopefully we get stricter laws when it comes to that, at least, you know, but, you know, we're trying mm-hmm. and we're working hard and, you know.
Well, and again, for everything we've ever done mm-hmm. in the world, the use remains pretty consistent, so.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about like bug trying to solve a bug problem or something. It's like, hey, you try here, you try there, you try there, and the bugs just keep going somewhere else. So we'll keep struggling.
How about this? To end in a positive note, it has not gone up. I mean, it's just staying constant.
The one recognized action I will end on a positive that has evidence base is strong parental disapproval. I'll say it again. If the parent says to the kid, I don't want you using this ever. I don't want you to try it. I don't ever want to see you under the influence. And if I ever find out that you are in big trouble, Mr. or Miss. That has proven to be the number one deterrent for even experimentation. So you've got that weapon. Parents, you've got that weapon in your arsenal. Use it. I don't care if you use it with a beer in your hand. As long as you say those words.
It probably would help to be stronger if you don't have a beer in your
hand.
No,
it doesn't kill the message. Because the message is, I will disapprove. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It has everything to do with my approval or disapproval. And ultimately, your approval or disapproval, clearly stated, is the difference maker in evidence-based intervention. And I just read that out of the SAMHSA survey that came out just a week and a half ago. And I was like, whoa, very cool.
You know, and I think I read that article too. But, you know, it would be so easy, I guess. It would be so easy if it was, you know, if things were like that everywhere. And if we had that component everywhere, you know, we wouldn't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
know, I'll go for that. That's fine. I'll figure out something else.
Yeah.
You know, but
nice,
I could go back to New York. I could go back to New York. So
I could, we come on the radio and talk about how wonderful everything is.
Yeah. But, you know, and we could only hope that it was that was the case. With every case, you know, that we have the support.
Okay, so if people want more information about prevention, Mr. Lee's from prevention specialists, who should they call?
They can call the office at Department of Student Wellbeing. It's 312-6498. That's the phone number. My email address is lbrown@icoe.org if they want to, you know.
That's big. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. I don't want to be Brown Martinez at ICOE. But, you know, and just to kind of, like, close off, my segment real quick, this school year, we're focusing on Hopeville High School and Southwest. We will be having a program there. We will be having every 15 minutes. I'm not going to say when, but, you know, it's going to happen.
Or where,
but it will happen. And one thing, just another thing about FNL is one of the visions that I wanted with the program was to have it, every program per school would be, you know, now what we're doing in Brawley is that the promo items that we're getting for FNL and Brawley are for Brawley. They have the V with the claw, the wildcat colors, the shirts that we're making, they're the school colors. The same thing we're going to do for Southwest, the same thing we're going to do for every school that gets with this club going, you know, they will have their own personalized.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted that. I wanted to, for, you know, it kind of shows, you know, gives it a little more of a school pride. As, you know, as before, there was just, you know, every school had the same shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one thing we're really happy, you know, with. The outcome has been pretty positive from the kids. The school has helped us out a lot. So, you know.
And we have to say, Imperial County Behavioral Health contributes to the FNL.
We're going to stop looking at my rundown sheet. But, yeah, we receive a grant from Behavioral Health with that, and we use, what I've done with that is that I've split it per school, that those monies that for the promo items, they go per school that we have clubs. So, right now, our goal is to open up a club, and my personal goal is to have a club running
at every school.
At every school. So,
thank you for coming aboard.
Thank
today.
You so much.
Oh, thank you so much for
and
having
remember,
me.
And remember, listeners, if you heard the show today, and you go, hey, it's a great show, people need to hear it, whatever, kick them over to the KXO.com website where they can catch podcasts of this and all the other great shows.
So you can email it to you over there in New York.
Oh, cool. Well, there you go. It's your DJ audition.
Oh, thanks.
All right, thanks for joining us today. Join us again next week. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness, hearing, and pure valley. Be kind to each other, okay?
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.